I encourage every citizen watching this to look into your own heart and find the American courage that conquers all evil. I implore you to listen to this message and stand up. Take back your streets. Take back your country.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hi, Omar. Beer mug, Kevin and me in beer mug.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Do I look like your mama? Do I look like the one who held your head in the bathtub till all the brain cells disappeared? I ain't your mama.
Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you'll never ever leave from beside me. Because I want you, and I need you, and I'm down for you always.
And now, keep those likes and comments coming, home, home. Daddy like your comments.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 8th of August. What, oh,
dear.
What happened?
No. Bean, no.
That's not possible.
It's not.
That is impossible.
It's not possible.
Somebody put me down.
That's just not possible.
Somebody just...
There's no possible way that that's still going on.
It's been 52 hours.
That's on you, dude.
That's what I'm saying.
I've tried everything.
Mm.
Really? You hire an electrician to come out?
Well, no, I haven't done
not
that.
Not everything.
Okay.
All right. I've tried everything that I know how to do. I do want to apologize to Kevin and Bean podcast listener Elizabeth, who enjoys the show from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently she was listening to the podcast while she was getting ready for work yesterday.
Oh, no.
And, or maybe, yeah, in the afternoon, I guess, after the podcast had posted. And her little dog Penelope apparently is terrified of chirping smoke detectors and really, like, upset her whole day. By that sound being on the podcast.
Oh, I thought she was going to be late for something because she started looking for it in her house.
That would have been
like
awesome.
Like half paying attention.
That would have been awesome. Where's that coming from?
I think you're right, guys. I think I'm going to have to call somebody out. But let me ask just one more question because I really don't want to get bogged down in this again today. But that is, and forgive me for being so dumb here. Can I just take it down off the wall and install a new smoke detector myself? Is that an easy thing to do? Or is it something more complicated that I do need professional help to attach wires and whatnot?
Call someone.
Yeah. I feel like a guy that can't get his to stop chirping shouldn't be installing new ones.
Unless it's not my fault at all. And it's right. Just, mm-hmm. It's just its way of telling me that it's bad, that it's been there for 10 years and it's just worn out. And it
very
needs
possible
place.
Call someone.
You do have to replace them at some point.
Right.
Okay.
So make a call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think today's the day, you guys.
Okay, good.
I don't know who to call, but I'll find somebody.
Electricians.
I mean, that makes sense, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we need to walk them through this?
Do we need to send someone there?
How do I use a phone? Do I have to hit numbers?
Where do I find a phone book?
Call somebody? Yeah, where are the phone books? All right.
Don't you have slave labor in Marty anymore?
Well, he's in Seattle.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and I'm
put
not.
Put him on a plane, dude.
Fly it out here.
Probably
it's been
cost
52
you less
hours
at this point.
Guys, it is. I mean,
did you call him?
No.
Huh?
It is torture, you guys.
Yeah. Well,
it's not.
You're not
fun.
Doing. You're not doing anything that you should be doing.
Yeah. No, I am. I try.
You didn't call anyone that knows.
No, but I did give you the long list of things that I did try. And yesterday,
right.
Per our discussion, I did go out and I did get the can of compressed air and went and took it down off the wall and blew it all out, trying to, you know, in case it was just a dust thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I was so optimistic when I put it back on the wall. I was like, oh, this is going to be sweet, sweet silence. And then 1 second later, and I was like, cursing God.
Yeah. Well, it's not God.
Well,
I don't think it's God.
He could stop it if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an interesting story. I want to believe it's true. It's from gloucesterlive.co.uk.
Sure.
A couple is seeking a unique videographer to film their wedding night.
Mm.
So here's a couple, unnamed in the article, that they have been engaged for a couple of years. They got engaged to Christmas of 2016, so almost 2 years. And they're planning a wedding next month in September. And they have had a lot of discussions about how they want to commemorate the day, including a videographer for highlights of the wedding day. But they also want somebody to film the wedding night. And they are having difficulty lining somebody up to do that. What are we playing now?
Nothing.
There's a lot of that going on these days since Beer Mug has been in here.
Sure is.
That's the one of the things they haven't sorted for their wedding. They go on to explain that they want to film their wedding night so they don't forget any special moments. They talked to the person they had hired to film the wedding day and said, hey, could we pay a little extra for you to work the night shift? And he did not feel comfortable with the idea. So they have posted online. There's a site called bark.com that may be some sort of, I don't know, some sort of work website or something like that where you hire people.
To bark like a dog?
So far, they haven't been able to fund. No one has stepped forward saying that they will do it. They're offering £2,000, by the way, for a couple hours' work. They say they expect you will be needed between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. on their wedding night.
Oh, that's being nice.
It is.
1 a.m. to 1:04 a.m.
Right.
And by the way, don't you hear from most people who get married that by time that day is over, you collapse?
You're exhausted, and most likely that open bar hit, you're not. Boop.
It's going to be a nice 2 hours of sleeping.
Yeah, exactly. Are you guys surprised that they are having trouble finding somebody to film this?
I assume most people that see it don't believe it. Think it's some kind of scam or something. That would be my assumption.
Too good to be true.
Yeah.
If you think you can do this, please let us know. I know it's an odd request, but it's something that we are keen on. And the request is still out there for somebody to do it. And by the way, I guess I wouldn't know because it would be a private thing within the couple. But I don't think I've ever heard of this sort of story before where somebody wants to, you know, keep the camera rolling long after the reception is over.
Yeah, that's kind of odd. That's why I think people probably won't buy it.
They just won't think it's true.
I think it's just too.
And they also do say, by the way, that they want to make sure whoever they hire understands that it is a, you know, personal use video only.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to make sure that, you know, they can trust the person that somehow it's not going to get out or whatever.
All right, this is rude, but do they include their picture in the story?
It's not.
I know it's rude, but listen, I'm not going to film you if you're making me hurl. If I'm throwing up in my mouth watching you two do it,
yeah,
I'm not.
Just close your eyes and act like you're doing it. Act like you're filming.
I don't think you heard the story correctly.
That may be a factor. I don't know how much anonymity they're going for. They're mm-hmm. not named or shown in this news report.
Okay.
But I don't know if they would put... I mean, I imagine this is the type of thing they would want to keep private, but who knows? Anyone who hears about this could certainly narrow it down to the date and location of their wedding.
Yeah, I'm showing up to every church to check them out.
But that's a really good point. Is people go, oh, this sounds really good. Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Maybe that's it.
Charge extra.
It's not that they're having trouble finding labor. It's that you're just too ugly.
Right.
I think you cracked it, Allie.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, it's okay. We're all men. There's no need to be shy here.
Making it. You can watch people decoupage.
Yeah, you sure can.
On TV.
Goddamn delight.
It's the opposite of what she just said.
It is perfect.
I hear it. It is a sensation that is sweeping the nation.
Hmm. Comedian Brad Williams?
Yeah.
On throwing out the first pitch at Angel Stadium?
Unbelievable.
Do we know what happened?
Yeah.
I've seen video.
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard.
Oh, you're not on Instagram. Okay, yeah. Yeah, let's not tell him.
Mm-mm.
I'm very excited. I know it was a tremendous win for the Angels, I'll tell you that.
Was it also
a win for Brad?
We'll let you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, a scientific survey on the program today where we need your help. Remember the calls that we played from listener now? I think we know her name is Reina. Reina.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday?
In Florida, yes.
Where she was looking for Allie's... advice?
Oh, mm-hmm. The guy that was still in her bed after hours.
We have her lined up to talk to you today.
Oh, God. I'm excited to meet her.
That's going
to
be a lot of fun. And Devin Larratt. He is he's an arm wrestling league champ.
Sure.
Two-time champ. Did you see the video of him easily destroying the Mountain from Game of Thrones in arm wrestling?
Is that the one where he was yelling, I'm too strong?
I don't think so.
Oh. He's yelling that right in the other guy's face.
The Mountain outweighs him by almost 200 pounds, and he still absolutely handled him.
That's why it's crazy what Mug's been talking about.
Yeah.
Smack talking.
Very
ridiculous.
Yeah.
And Doto, the international man of mystery.
Yes.
Very excited about that coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
K-Rock, it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
I don't want everybody to get too excited, but today is the Ocho on ESPN2.
Sweet.
And I'm watching the Cup Stacking Championships right now, which is a bunch of like 12-year-olds who can really stack those cups super, super fast.
Right.
But at the end, what they have on the table is cups that are stacked. Mm. That's the
should
that's
be
the
an Olympic sport.
Well, I don't know. They're real good at it, though.
Right.
I will tell you that. It's hard for me to put my head in a space where that's how you spend your time, is figuring out how to be really, really fast at stacking cups. But having said that, it's pretty impressive.
I mean,
so that's what's up first on the Ocho today, in case you were wondering. Hey, Allie, how are you?
I'm good. Weren't we thinking of taking today off so we could watch the Ocho 24-7?
Yeah, we didn't want to miss a minute, right.
What's wrong with us?
What happened? I mean, it's not too late. We're not on the air yet.
All right.
That's true. Show doesn't start till 6.
Right.
Let's go.
Well, I urge you to get on your phones immediately after this and set your home DVR to record all day, because you're not going to want to miss an exciting minute.
You can sell it, Bean. That was good. I like it. We were talking yesterday about being sick as a rock star, missing your shows, or trying to perform up there. Talking about Dan Reynolds from Imagine Dragons, had no voice, and the audience was singing for him. He was telling stories about the songs in between. Well, I think it's probably best that Pink keeps postponing shows in Sydney until she gets well.
Mm-hmm.
Because she has a gastric virus.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Some tummy issues, I believe. Here's why. If you haven't seen Pink's new tour, she literally flies around the stadium above you, connected to wires.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing flips as she's singing. She...
That would be the best thing that ever
happened. The worst thing to ever happen.
That would be and also the best thing that ever happened. Because if you weren't that one of the people there.
Yeah.
The best thing that ever happened.
I'm just saying, if you get a chance to ever Google her tour.
Right.
Watch what she's doing. Because it's unlike anything I've ever seen before. It's Cirque du Soleil.
Pink.
Right.
In the air.
It is sort of Cirque du Soleil. Yeah.
Literally flying around. When I say flying around the stadium, this isn't on the stage she's doing cool stuff. She is flying towards the people in the back with the worst seats.
Mm-hmm.
Up in their face, waving hello.
Right.
Maybe spraying something is all I'm saying. Take as much time as you need, Pink, if you could. That's all I'm saying, you guys. Do you think she'll get this message?
Probably not.
No, because she's in Sydney. And
plus, she doesn't care what we think, I
probably
assume.
Probably that as right. well. But just take your time, girl.
Right.
Get well.
Or absolutely. Don't. Get right back to work.
No, don't do that. Kevin wants that video.
Yep.
No one else does.
Oh, please.
So this big concert happening in Central Park on September 29th, it is the Global Citizen Concert. It's intended to promote activism, improving health, education, social justice, and the environment around the world. They've got some pretty good headliners. Janet Jackson, The Weeknd, Shawn Mendes, Cardi B, and Janelle Monáe. That's not bad for a free show. Did I mention it's a free show?
You did.
Wow. Yes. Hosted by Hugh Jackman and his wife, Deborah Lee Furness. They're going to host the 7th annual event, expecting to draw more than 60,000 people out there to Central Park.
End of September, it should be down to just below 100 degrees by then.
At this point, man, they are getting nailed on the East Coast with heat and humidity, and just more so than usual.
Yeah.
It's not real cute. Not real cute at all. So Tom Hardy did an interview. It's going to be the September issue of Esquire, both in the UK and the US, where he's hinting at retirement since turning 40.
I'm sorry?
Tom Hardy, I need you to stay on my screens forever, pretty much. But you just turned 40. It sounds like he's going through a little, I'm not going to say a crisis, but he's definitely thinking about some things. Mm-hmm. Here's his quote. "You've summited Everest. It's a miracle that you made it anywhere near the effing mountain, let alone climbed it. Do you want to go all the way back and do it again? Or do you want to get off the mountain and go find a effing beach? What is it that draws you to the craft?"
"I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good."
Look, he's a fine actor, mm-hmm. but what has he done that he is comparing to climbing Everest?
Peaky Blinders.
So that's it? He feels like he'll never be in anything that good again, so why bother?
I did think to myself, what exactly would be his Everest?
I mean, I would assume it would be becoming a movie star, which is one in a billion chance of you're actually making it. I would think that could be compared to Mount Everest.
Okay.
I would think so.
Do you think every role then is reclimbing Everest?
I wouldn't think so, no.
No.
I would think maybe he would have a little head start on every other thing.
Yeah. Not only that, maybe even a ride up there.
Sure.
You know?
And somebody else doing much of the work.
Yeah, exactly. But he also said there's no profession tougher in the world than that of raising children. And he's just lamenting hitting middle age in the interview. What's up with you dudes in 40?
Yeah.
That's when we as ladies come alive.
I do think there is a point for a lot of people where you realize there are more years behind you than ahead of you sometimes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it does cause you to take stock of how much time do I have left and how do I want to spend that time. I feel like 40 is a little young for that.
It feels young, like it, yeah. But then you think about Hollywood, and 40 for a man, let's be honest, is 25 for a woman
right.
in Hollywood. So right. maybe he just sees it inching closer.
Yeah. Or maybe he's just, like, really tired right now.
He's tired. He just needs a nap. I have to do this interview, but I'm tired.
Just a nap.
Here's what I'll say, and then they'll leave, and now everyone's talking about it. But Tom Hardy, I mean, Venom's coming out, right?
Yeah.
We've got Venom.
Can't wait.
He could possibly, if all things go as I plan, be the next James Bond. He's got a lot of years ahead of him.
I can see that, yeah.
I wasn't aware you were pulling those strings. Good.
Oh, I'm in talks. Now that they know I watch Bond films,
mm-hmm.
I'm up to two.
Well, you've seen two of them, so they should certainly come to you for where the franchise goes next.
Right.
I saw them within a week of each other, so I'm on a roll.
Right.
So they know I'm serious. Hey, want some birthdays, you guys?
Sure.
Two phenomenal musicians. One, the guitarist for U2, The Edge. Happy birthday to you. The other, the singer for Creed. Happy birthday, Scott Stapp.
I'm sorry.
Did
you say, was he one of the two phenomenal?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I meant to say Drew Lachey from 98 Degrees.
Okay. Right.
And then JC Chazet from NSYNC.
Okay, so that, okay.
Shawn Mendes, he's a singer. The kids love Shawn. Roger Federer, tennis player. And Robin Quivers from The Howard Stern Show. And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
I need some babes.
Kevin and Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin and Bean. I need a woman.
Woo! I need a woman. I was in Vietnam. I definitely need a Korean woman.
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar.
Life's a box of chocolate, Bean.
Did you get her phone number?
Yeah.
Have you called her?
Yeah, I called and she changed her number.
How about that?
Why'd you tuck away some knives behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man. I drank your milkshake.
Well, I'm sorry.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
Woo! And now the further adventures of Doto. International man of mystery, man. Yeah.
This is a rare appearance on the program where we didn't seek out Doto. We were told by our producer, Dave, the King of Mexico, that Doto needs a word with you guys. And we said, all right, if there's anything we can do to help the International Man of Mystery, we are here for it.
Yeah, I need your help, Kevin Bean.
How are you, Doe? Good morning.
Good morning, Doe.
Good. Hey, you're going to want to hear this on October 5th.
Hold on, Doe. These are pleasantries. It's okay to say hello and find out how each party is doing.
It's called small talk.
did you say hello to Allie yet, Doe?
Oh, hey, Allie. How are you doing?
Hey, Doto. I'm doing good. Thanks.
Hey, I need your guys' advice, man. On October
15th. October 5th, yes.
15th, I'm going to Bangkok for 2 weeks. Then
Bangkok Oriental City?
No, Bangkok, Thailand. Then on October 29th, I guess on the way back to the U.S., I'm stopping over in Shanghai for a week to see that girl because...
Oh, you're still seeing the girl from Shanghai.
You know why? Because 2 months ago, because over on WeChat, I was talking to her about marriage, and she asked her, do you want a big marriage, a small marriage? She told me that she probably want a small to mid-sized marriage. You guys are definitely invited, Kevin.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay. Where's it going to be?
Slow down, Doe. Are you talking about a big wedding or a big marriage?
Pretty much a wedding.
Mm. A wedding. Okay. Why are you guys talking about getting married, Doe? You haven't even met her.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to go there to meet her and see how things go. Then I'm going to make up my decision, Kevin Bean.
And you're on a timer? You're on a clock?
Because since, well, I've been communicating with this lady for about 4 months. So if I've been communicating, evidently, I'm sure there's chemistry or connection. If there wasn't any chemistry or connection, it wouldn't go that far, right, Kevin Bean?
I would think that's true.
I think that is true. I think if they have been in constant touch for 4 months online, I think that counts as a relationship. I just wouldn't extrapolate it to the point where we need to get married yet.
Have you guys done video chat?
I know there's a pretty good indicator it could work, but I can't be absolutely sure until I meet her in person, Kevin.
Correct.
What about Kevin's question about video chat? Have you done that?
I did talk to her on FaceTime.
You did?
Okay. So she knows what you look like.
She knows what I look like.
And you know what she looks like.
Yeah, but here's the problem, Kevin. I mean, she's not 5'8", 5'9", she's 5'4", in terms of height.
Ooh.
Oh, I think you can get past that.
Yeah, don't tell. It seems like that's kind of a superficial thing, don't you think? 5'8", 5'9". You've always said you want your woman 5'8", 5'9", but it seems like if she's right in every other way, maybe bump it down to 5'4".
Yeah. So, what you're saying, Kevin, and being is sometimes it's best to be a little bit more flexible to lower your standards.
It's not lowering your standards at all.
How come I know a lot of Asian girls, like Taiwanese or Hong Kong girls, a lot of them cannot find a man in their mid-30s and 40s because a lot of them have too high expectation and they're not lowering the standards. And they realize that they need to be a little bit flexible. You know me, like Kevin Bean.
Yeah, maybe don't call it lowering your standards. Maybe just being, I think flexible is a good word.
More open-minded.
More open-minded.
Yeah. I think that's good, Alex.
Doto, here's what I'm going to tell you that you may be surprised by, is sometimes the person that you were meant to be with is not at all the person you were looking for.
What do you mean, Bean?
Right deep. What do you mean, Bean?
What I mean is you have an idea of what you think you want, and then you meet somebody. You hear this all the time, Doe. Somebody says, he was totally not my type, or she wasn't what I was looking for. And then you realize you're perfect together. You got to keep your blinders off, is what I'm saying.
You know what? Because the other day I was just talking to my friend Jason, Dr. Jason Han, about this. He told me that, you know, it's best to keep an open mind. Don't be too narrow-minded.
Right. Yes, he's absolutely
right. That's good
advice.
But he told me one of the problems in relationship why a lot of these people having problems with finding people is because they're not willing to be flexible. They're willing to be in their own little circles.
We should have given you that advice.
Well, that's what we've said many times. All right, so Doe, let's talk about October again. So you're going to be over there. How much time are you planning to spend with your young lady?
Yeah, because here's the problem. She told me that if I can commit to a week, that would be fine, Kevin Bean. So she can take a few days off. But here's the problem. On days, if she's not working, what the heck am I going to be doing, Kevin Bean? Just staying in a hotel? What am I going to be doing, Kevin Bean?
Well, you're going to be in Shanghai, literally one of the biggest cities in the world. You're not going to have any trouble finding things to do.
Yeah, but
just leave the hotel and walk around, see what's there.
Bean, why don't you come to Shanghai, Bean?
Why don't you go, Bean?
Because I don't want to.
That's a great idea between
the lovebirds. But Doe, there are 25 million people in Shanghai. It's a big city. You're going to be fine.
So I guess I'll be going to the mall and sightseeing, and just pretty much going to the buffets, right, Kevin?
Right, the buffets.
Yes, going to the buffets.
For the flan. Now, do you have to make up your mind in that week whether or not to get married? Because it sort of sounded like that's what you were going for.
Because I was talking to her, and she told me that, I asked her, do I have to make up my mind right away? She told me usually after one or two visits, she told me it doesn't have to be right away, but she told me that the first meeting would be a start.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's say it goes great and you are very deeply in love and decide to marry. Do you plan to move to Asia or will she move to the United States?
She told me she's gonna move away. She told me that her aunt is an immigration attorney, so her aunt can help her with this.
Oh, I see. So she's gonna come to the United States.
Yeah.
You don't think that's why she's interested in marrying you,
How
do you,
dare
Joe?
You?
Yeah. Bean, that's why. Come on, Bean. Let me explain this, because I'm going to assume that maybe she wants to use it for citizenship, because everybody has an agenda, right, Kevin?
Sure. Bean? Sure. Yeah.
Because I thought a marriage is like a business. It's almost like a business partner. So, because I'm sure that could be part of the reason, but I can't be absolutely sure. But at least just you know, just be alert and just keep my mind open.
But maybe you're fine with that. Right?
Maybe not, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Doto, I am seeing serious growth from you. Sound like you're really thinking things through. You're thinking of different alternatives. I think this is great.
Well, hey, thanks. Hey, Allie, so in terms of marriage, do you think it's best that I probably talk to an immigration attorney about this? Like, could they be using you for citizenship? And if
absolutely.
If that's the case, then what are the ways to go about it?
Well, if she's using you for citizenship, I think that's something you have to keep kind of on the front burner the whole time, thinking about that. May I make a suggestion? If you do talk to an immigration attorney, make sure it's not her aunt.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, because I do have legal service, and I do talk to attorneys sometimes on different issues.
You have legal service.
Yeah, talk to someone you know. Definitely right. not yeah, a family member of hers.
All right.
I got it.
Yeah.
We're almost out of time here, Doe, but I don't want you to take your time on this.
Yeah.
There's no rush at all. Look, you can be engaged for 3 years before you get married. There's absolutely no rush into this, okay?
Hey, Bean, do you mind if I see other girls besides her, Bean?
No, that's advice.
I think you should keep your options open until you know that she's the one.
Yeah.
Okay.
As many as possible.
So you're leaving October 15th then?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm not going straight to Shanghai. I'm going to Southeast Asia, Bangkok. Then,
right.
Then on the way back, I'm going to stop by Shanghai. What the heck, right? I mean, it's only a week, right?
It's only a week.
What the heck? That's what I always say.
Right.
Okay, Doe. Well, listen, I think I agree with Allie. I think you're going into this with your eyes open, and you're not going to make any serious mistakes. Just be real careful and keep in touch and let us know how it's going, okay?
Bean, you and Kevin and Mike Tatewood should be coming to Shanghai, man, and ask Dr. Jude to come along.
We'll get back to you on that.
Doto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
I think we need some sort of a referee or something.
Nah, we're
because
good.
Because this new NBC series, Making It, Allie wants a 24-hour-a-day channel with nothing but Making It on it, and Kevin thinks NBC should lose their FCC license as a result of putting it on the air. So, Omar, maybe you could mediate in between since you've seen
really?
The show
Omar's
as well.
The mediator?
Yes.
Maybe.
All right. I'll be the voice somebody. Of reason. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. He's on my side.
So, for folks who haven't heard, Making It is a new show on NBC that's all about crafts. People who make crafts, right?
Yeah, crafts.
No, crafts.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
So it's people, it's grown-ups who, you know, cut things out of felt and make, you know, dolls or something, right?
That's exactly what it is. And then they make turtle shells out of wood. It's like, what is happening? It's pointless. It's there is no point to this. All the people are on there are dumb. Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman are the only saving grace to this show because they're chemistry is undeniable. They're good together, right?
They are, yeah.
But I can't believe this is on network TV. This should be on like TLC or something like this. And everything,
is there a Home and Garden channel?
Something like that, yeah. And
is there a decoupage channel?
That's what we this needs to be on there. And
but Ali, hold on a sec, before you go on.
Yeah.
Didn't you watch this show and feel really good about it?
I'll tell you why Omar is a dick.
there's many reasons.
One of the reasons.
Here's the thing about this show. If you ever watched The Great British Bake Off,
which is amazing, by the way,
huge hit.
I'm a huge fan.
Overseas as well as here. Here's the thing about that show. It makes people feel good. You don't have to be a baker to watch that show.
Okay, does this make you feel good?
I already feel inspired, Nick. Hand me the wooden thing over there with the metal thing on top of it.
You mean the hammer?
Hammer! That's what it's called. I'm learning so much already.
Welcome to Making It.
It's so wacky.
She didn't know
what a hammer was, guys.
Here's the thing. They are establishing that Nick Offerman is this master woodsman.
Which he is.
Woodmaker. He knows so much about crafting and wood and all these different things. Mm-hmm. She is basically playing the part of people watching it that don't know about how.
But here's also here's the thing on the show is that they don't teach you how to do anything
because
they're just watching these amazing people do this amazing thing. But on the level of amazing, this is like minus 1,000 on the scale of amazing.
It is not a how-to show. It is a reality competition series where they are competing against each other.
Right.
Here's what makes it different than most reality shows.
All right.
This is a show where it's a feel-good show. You could watch it with your kids. They tell inspiring stories.
If you could watch it with your kids, why is it at 10 p.m.?
If I could actually finish a sentence, that would be awesome.
My bad.
It's about pleasantness and goodness instead of, again, Omar, shut the F up.
Okay.
I can feel the pleasantness and the goodness.
And not about conflict and drama that so many people need in their life, which tells a lot about them.
There is no pleasantness or anything on the show. I don't know
what. You watched 15 minutes.
I know. I went back and I pulled clips. Is this what you're talking about that's pleasant here?
How did you start working with Phelps?
I'm a sports fan. I played sports and stuff. So I actually was making pennants, like sports memorabilia. But it has so many other connotations, you know. It just interested me to keep working with it. I feel like you can do stuff like kind of a little crazier or weirder. So that was really interesting to me.
75% of the show is them talking about decoupage and felt and threading needles.
How weird for a crafting show about making
things. Right, but what you're saying the heart of the show is the feel good and all
is
that.
Is in what they are making and the stories that come out of what they are making.
There's not much of that.
You watched a very different show.
There's a lot of this.
There's only been one.
Hey, there's a lot
you
of this. Kev
a very
dog.
Different show.
I'm in the process of making my owl. My parents always believed that you should follow your dream and be who you were meant to be.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that.
I support it. And I'm also going to say this, and I have not seen the show, but everything I've heard so far, these contestants sound like very sweet people who are just there having a good time.
And sweet people that, as opposed to another competition series, if they finish before the other person, they go and help the person. It's about being your best and whatever you come up with that is your art. It's wonderful.
It's no. But my thing is like this is on network TV. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
And this happens on TV.
What's your adhesive?
I'm going to use some decoupage and water.
Decoupage is glue?
It's pretty much like a glue and water mixture.
Isn't it also the thing you do to something?
It's also the term of applying something with that adhesive to cover
the surface.
Oh,
so the adhesive has kind of taken over as the action.
Yes.
I learned something, guys. See you later.
So again, her playing the part of someone that doesn't know what goes into all this stuff.
Omar, there are hundreds of millions of people in this country that need something like this that feels
good. I don't
good
understand
right
how this makes you feel good. I really don't. Because they're making crafts. And
I think the problem is that neither of us care about the crafts, and there's way too much talk about
the
crafts.
Let me ask you both as fathers, when your child makes something for you, isn't that the best gift you could
possibly
get?
That's crap. Go back and make another one.
See, I think
why can't you draw better, you dumb kid? Beat it, kid.
What I'm saying is there's this universality to crafting and making things. When you receive something that someone made, that they made, that they put their heart and soul into, that they cared about, they give it to you. You then wind up feeling good receiving that. That's a beautiful thing.
Maybe it wasn't for you
before you watched it.
Okay.
We know that. But
all right.
If you guys can honestly say that when your child makes you something, you don't feel good and that's not something
right, but
beautiful.
That's when that's my child kid makes me something, it's not on NBC.
Right.
Maybe for other people to
and
watch.
And they're not
maybe
making
your kid
a
didn't
turtle
make
shell
good stuff. Just saying.
Because we're better at it. Maybe they'd be on NBC.
Let's play this last clip because you can't tell me this guy is appealing to, because this guy is a douchebag.
What's going on here?
Yeah. What is your animal?
It's a little bit of a loose interpretation.
You know what? You're an artist. Do what you want.
We love the loose interp.
The human animal?
Yes!
Yeah, so we're making big shadow puppet theater.
Shadow puppet theater?
Yeah, and you're going to get a front row seat to some of the characters that live inside of my head.
Is paper craft your thing?
I'm a generalist. About 5 years ago, I started making web tutorials. Hola, friends, it's Robert.
Hola, friends, it's Robert. Shut up, dude.
Then, I believe this is the same gentleman that then tells a story of why he turned to crafting, because it was cheaper than therapy when his parents sent him a funeral notice after he came out as gay.
Oh, no, this is a different guy.
All right, well, let me tell that one. They wound up sending this guy a funeral notice saying, for our dead son, you're dead to us.
Dude,
so he poured his heart and soul into making things.
That makes me feel great. He's substituting his parents with the crafting.
It's not for Omar and I.
Omar, you're a horrible human being. Horrible.
But I'm going to go craft something in the toilet for you guys.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Imagine you're born and raised in Fullerton, California. Your whole life you're an Angels fan.
Okay.
And then you find yourself last night in an Angels uniform, standing on the mound, getting ready to throw out the first pitch.
Seems pretty specific.
That's what happened to our friend Brad Williams, comedian Brad Williams, who took over Anaheim Stadium last night. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I can't talk too long. I'm currently on the bus. I'm going to Salt Lake City to join the Salt Lake Bees.
Is that right?
The Angels minor league team.
Nice.
They insist they want to get you in the farm system now that they see what you can do, huh?
Darn right. No one's ever had a pitch like that before, let me tell you.
Well, before we get into the pitch, and I know a lot of your fans were there to see it in person last night, but tell me what it was like to get the call that you were going to be able to do this, because it's a real honor from somebody who grew up right down the street from the stadium, right?
Yeah, I had reached out to the Angels almost every year for the past 5 years to try to throw the first pitch.
Is that right? And they would say, yeah, not so much.
They said, no, we're hoping for Dinklage. We're hoping.
Which, by the way, I hope is the name of your autobiography.
Hoping for Dinklage.
But they finally got the call, or they finally reached out to me and said, yeah, we actually did some research into you, and apparently you've done some things.
Huh?
I guess
you get enough Showtime specials and they feel like you must be legit.
Yeah, that was kind of the tipping point. And they finally called me up and said, hey, do you want to throw the first pitch? And obviously I said, yes, I've been trying to do it. And, my first thought is I just have to do better than Kevin.
I mean,
that was
honestly,
only thought.
The truth is that that's not hard.
Right.
That's a low bar.
So you started dancing though. You did the worm. Were they expecting that?
No one was expecting it. I didn't tell anybody what I was doing.
Sweet.
And, I just did the worm, got the ball, popped up, shook off two pitches, two signs, and then threw maybe what would be the slowest changeup for anybody else or the fastest fastball for a dwarf. One or the other.
It was a great pitch, Brad.
It was a little outside, but...
Mm-hmm. Mine like, hit the dirt.
And yeah, you hit the dirt.
And I hit the dirt, too.
That was my only thought, was don't bounce it. However hard I thought I was going to throw it, I knew I had to throw it harder.
Well,
and
that's...
as the ball released from my arm, my thought was, oh, crap, because I didn't think I threw it hard enough at all.
Mm. Yeah, it's further than it looks when you get up there.
Yeah,
the professionals make it look easy, but it's a long way.
Yeah, and when you throw the ball at a smoking 15 and a half miles an hour,
right?
it takes a while for it to get there.
I mean, you had to put some height on it. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like you could have caught that ball if you had hustled. It was really impressive, though. I mean, because we were talking about this off the air, Brad, when we found out that you were going to be doing it. I mean, look, you're a very strong person for your size, but that's a long way for you to throw a ball, right? So you really had to put your shoulder into it.
Yeah, I was on the road this past weekend in Omaha, Nebraska. Jealous? Of course you are. And I got a fan, and I went to a local ballpark and threw 72 pitches on Sunday.
Wow.
I got to get this right.
Nice. Now, did you practice doing the worm and popping up, then throwing?
I did about 5 or 10 of those.
Wow.
Just to make sure I got the whole motion.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, I didn't want to embarrass myself because, man, I've heard from certain people, some of which you may know, mm-hmm. that if you bounce the first pitch and possibly even fall off the mound,
right.
uh-huh. no one ever lets you forget that.
Yeah. Ever.
And
ever.
It stays with you.
I hear that's
person.
True.
Yeah.
that's well. How was the crowd reaction to you coming out, Brad? Were they enthusiastic? They were behind you?
Yeah, crowd reaction was great. There was a lot of Kevin and Bean fans there last night, which was really cool. As I was walking out to the mound, I certainly heard a couple people yell out, "Kevin and Bean!"
That's awesome.
So that was really cool. And now my brother-in-law, he's been mentioned on the show before as Captain Bad Idea.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. He was trying to go on Craigslist to hire about 100 people to just boo me.
Oh. He's such a dick.
That's pretty awesome.
That's awesome. Hey, last thing.
Yeah, thankfully you can get you can get sexual favors on Craigslist, but not enough people to come.
Oh, that's too bad.
I'm
good.
Very confused about.
Mm-hmm. Did you stick around long enough to see the Tremendous Angels win?
I did. Saw the game. What a first inning when Ohtani hit a 3-run home run.
It's
right
unbelievable.
There in the first inning.
I've been a baseball fan my entire life. I have never seen a pitcher who's on the disabled list that they put in to hit because he's so good.
He's unreal.
He's unreal. I've never seen anything like it.
He's the DH. They just said on ESPN he's the only pitcher since Babe Ruth to throw, I think it was over 40 innings and hit over
12 home runs.
That's crazy.
Yeah, 12 home runs. Yeah.
It's incredible. And, well,
I just think that the Detroit Tigers pitcher was too intimidated after seeing my first hit.
Sure.
That's why he gave up 7 runs in the first inning.
I think you're right. I think you got it in his head, man, and it was a great birthday night for Mike Trout, even though he couldn't play. At least he got to have a great time at the ballpark watching you. So congratulations. And listen, Brad, thank you for that. We put the video up at the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean. And I know we're going to talk to you again next week because you got another one of those K-Rock comedy nights coming to town. So we'll catch up with you in a few days, all right?
All right. Sounds great. Thank you.
Congrats.
Thanks, Brad. Congrats. Bye now.
The Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
All right, Allie, you're up. What's happening?
We all watched the Paul McCartney carpool karaoke with James Corden, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was one of the best things ever. It was just magical.
It was pretty great.
Even if you aren't a Beatles fan, McCartney fan,
it was pretty great.
You still got to see this look at this international superstar and how at home he is everywhere, especially in his hometown of Liverpool.
Well, my favorite part.
Is he the most famous person in the world?
I'd say he's up there,
Well, he certainly is in the Western world. Okay. I mean, there's an awful lot of people in India and Asia who may not have much knowledge of who Paul McCartney is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think certainly for English-speaking people, I think he is. But my favorite part of that video is when he jumps up on stage at that little club. The looks in people's faces, the joy in people's faces, it was like watching black and white video from Beatlemania.
Oh, yeah.
They just were frothing. They were so excited to be in the same room as Paul McCartney.
It was palpable, and it was teenagers up to 80-year-olds all having the same reaction, which is, that's amazing. That's an incredible thing.
It must be a nightmare to try to walk around in the world as Paul McCartney and have that reaction happen everywhere you go.
But he seems to handle it so well.
He sure does.
Yeah. Well, the segment has nearly 130 million digital views. That's across YouTube and Facebook. Here's what CBS is going to do. They're turning the Paul McCartney carpool karaoke episode into a primetime special because they have a ton of unseen footage.
Bong, bong.
Bong, bong, indeed. So the special is going to air on August 20th at 8 p.m. I'm kind of excited about that. I'm not going to lie.
I hope it's good. I mean, the fear is that they put the best stuff in it already, you know? What's left over? I don't know.
I would assume they did, and I'm sure they're going to repeat a lot of that for people that didn't see it the first time around.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they'll include all of it, yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe there's more songs, you know, that he performed.
Sure.
And, you know, there could, I think it'll be fun.
When is it?
That is August 20th at 8 p.m. on CBS. Speaking of carpool karaoke, Kanye's mother-in-law was a guest on James Corden's show last night, and she said, why haven't you had Kanye on? And
maybe it'd been the wrong question.
I think it was indeed, because James Corden said, I can answer this easily. We've tried. He's canceled twice, maybe even three times. He canceled once as I was turning the corner to his house. I was outside his house and they were like, he's not in the zone for it right now. We'll do it another time.
Oh, and you know how much preparation must go into filming those things.
Oh, he learns the lyrics to songs that he doesn't even know if he's going to be doing.
Yep, right.
And to learn the lyrics and be able to rap them? Come on. And he went on to say that Kanye did send him a lovely gift, a flower in a cube, which he thought was cool, and a pair of Yeezys. And people would say, whoa, those are so expensive. And James Corden was like, yeah, he cost the show $45,000 is what he did.
Is that how much it cost to put to,
three different ones? Yeah, sure.
That makes sense. Well, a lot of staff you got
to
pay for.
A lot of staff. You're going out to Calabasas. That's a lot of stuff.
That's funny.
$45,000. So maybe, Kris Jenner, don't ask questions that you don't want the answer to. Know what I'm saying?
Your level of interest in Kanye West appearing on the Jimmy Kimmel Show tomorrow night?
Negative.
Really?
Couldn't care less.
He does make news every time he goes anywhere.
Boy, it sure depends on which Kanye West shows up. Mm-hmm. For me.
Yeah.
But I watch him on Kimmel. Mm-hmm. I think Jimmy would be good with him.
Okay. I like the old Kanye, and I miss the old Kanye.
Same.
Mm-hmm. He's not coming back. He's gone.
I'm looking for it.
Are you? Thank you. If you could. What I'm saying is, if I had my choice of which Kanye,
right?
I think I'd go.
I miss the old Kanye, straight from the gold Kanye, chop up the soul Kanye, set on his goals Kanye. I hate the new Kanye, the bad mood Kanye, the always rude Kanye, spazzing the news Kanye, and I love you like Kanye loves Kanye.
There you go.
There you have it. That was me right there.
That was great. Kanye.
Thank
was really
you.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Hurry up with my damn croissants.
Some birthdays for you. The Edge guitarist from U2, Robin Quivers from Howard Stern Show, Roger Federer, a great tennis player, boy bander from 98 Degrees, Drew Lachey, boy bander from NSYNC, JC Chazet, and Shawn Mendes, amazing singer, and Megan Good, a great actress. And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock. Don't kill it, Muggs. He's not killing it,
no,
is he?
No, he's bringing it outside.
Okay, good.
To throw it away.
He's going to give it a name.
Apparently, there was a spider right there in the waning moments of that song. That got right up in Allie's face.
It was damn near a tarantula the size of that thing.
Hey, welcome into the Kevin Beach Show. Thank you so much for listening. Quick reminder for folks who don't listen live, we do have a podcast every day of the program. And we appreciate if you want to check that out wherever you get your podcasts. You know, iTunes or Stitcher or wherever. And if you want to stream the show, if you're turning off the radio and going off somewhere, you can always listen to the program through radio.com. That's a free app you can get in the App Store as well. Speaking of podcasts, we got an email from a listener named Seth a couple of days ago who says he needs our help. He says he is in a social media spat with some people about something, and he wanted to know if he could get a ruling from us. So we have listeners on the line for the Kevin Bean Scientific Survey, which is exactly how you handle things when you can't solve a problem, right?
Right.
You just go to five random people on the phone. And
they're already on hold. They don't know why they're calling.
That's right.
They'll hear it, and then they'll vote.
So no bias before they picked up the phone to call. But let's welcome Seth to the program as he joins us now. Hey, buddy. What's going on, man?
Hey, bong bong. How are you guys?
Bong bong to you as well. I was intrigued by your email. We have all discussed it off the air, but I think it's time to bring it on the air and find out what our listeners think. Why don't you tell people what's going on?
Well, my buddy Greg posted on Facebook a little post that kind of got me a little bit riled up, and he might have been joking a little bit about it, but he posted, people that brush their teeth in public restrooms are serial killers.
All right. Not an exaggeration at all.
Well, and what? You know, it just kind of got me going, and I'm like, serial killers. I mean, I'm just a regular hygienic guy, like most good red-blooded Americans, and I'm going to brush my teeth after a meal, you know, or after a long flight, get in there, brush your teeth, everything feels great. The kind of it kind of devolved into probably he said, well, I guess you floss too, and I go, well, of course, everybody flosses, right? And so of course it was, ooh, that's gross, that's horrible, that's terrible. So I even had a discussion with my wife this morning about brushing teeth in a public restroom, and she says, ooh, that's gross. And I went, what is happening to people?
Really? Your wife, too? Now, that's
interesting. Yeah, it was ridiculous. Maybe I'm in the minority, so I needed to ask you guys for help, find out, am I right thinking, or am I a serial killer? I just need some help.
Okay.
I know where I fall on it, but...
What's the complaint from Greg and your wife? Do they think it's too intimate? Like it's the type of thing like pooping that should only be done in absolute privacy? Nobody should ever be anywhere near a person's bathroom habits? Is that what they're thinking?
I would guess. I don't know. I guess I just can't wrap my head around the fact that, you know, you wash your hands in the bathroom, too. Why don't you brush your teeth in the bathroom? I mean, I don't really get it. I mean, it's not like I'm using the poop water or anything.
I mean, do we know that?
That
or
is
you...
good to know, Seth. Okay.
Using poop water. Okay.
Okay, write
and
that
we're
down.
Also, yep. We're not talking about brushing your teeth or flossing in a restaurant. We're talking about in a bathroom, which is a public place, but it's also a place that's designed to be behind closed doors for people doing things like that.
Right.
Sure.
Kevin, what do you think?
I'm perfectly fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't bother me a bit that somebody's brushing their teeth in a restroom. I don't understand how it could.
Maybe people feel like, oh, this guy doesn't live here. You know what I mean? Like, why is he taking over this space as if he's at home?
I don't live places that I have to use the bathroom to go number one or number two.
That's weird.
I don't do number two, by the way.
Of course not.
Oh, no, you're a girl.
Yeah,
of course
thank
not.
You.
So you're down with Seth as well, right, Allie?
Absolutely. And may I just say thank you, listener Seth, for being hygienic.
Well, you know what? That's the way we should be, correct?
Amen.
Correct.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's hit the big intro, then let's see what our listeners think.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
All right. You have heard the evidence. One vote per person, first to three, is the opinion that will prevail. And by the way, if the listeners say it's gross, Seth, you're not going to be allowed to brush your teeth in public restrooms anymore. You understand that this is legally binding, right?
Well, I guess that just means I'm a serial killer.
All right. Let's go to Cindy up first. She's in Whittier. She's on line one. Again, a reminder, people on hold called before they heard the topic, so they did not have any pre-bias before they got on the phone. Cindy, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good.
You heard the discussion. You heard the problem Seth is having with his friend and his wife. Where do you come down on brushing your teeth in a public restroom?
I'm okay, except... how does he rinse his mouth out? You don't want to put your mouth down and get water out of the spigot.
A valid question, Seth.
What kind of an animal drinks out of a spigot? You use your hand to cup the water and bring it up to your mouth.
I love how she said this.
Okay. So you're good with it, Cindy.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay. It's okay. All right. Cindy says okay. There's one vote for yes. All right. Let's move along to caller number two. This is going to be Eddie Inglewood. Line two, please.
Hey, Eddie.
What's up, party people?
What do you think? You've heard the evidence.
All right. Well, there's two schools of thought. If it's just a straight public restroom, like at a restaurant or something, that's gross.
Okay.
If it's at the gym, it's okay. So
now it depends on where the public restroom is?
Yes.
Okay.
Because at the gym, it's expected. You know, you got to get ready for maybe you're working out in the morning, you got to work, you got to brush your teeth. If you're just doing it, you know, you had dinner at a restaurant and now you're going to the bathroom, that's just gross.
But you also just ate, so it makes
just
perfect
ate,
sense.
Though.
Amen, Allie.
You're welcome.
It sounds to me like Eddie's a no vote, right?
I feel like he's a yes and a no.
I feel like we might
have to throw him out.
Seth, you're talking about restaurants, right?
Well, I'm talking about just about anywhere.
Anywhere.
A restaurant, a gym, the airport, sure.
I mean, Dodger Stadium, at work, wherever.
Sure.
Okay.
That's
a
what's your thing.
I think Eddie's a no. You're right.
Eddie is a no.
Because Eddie's saying only at the gym is what he's saying.
All right.
Eddie's got some nasty teeth.
Go to our next caller. This is going to be line five in Montclair. We welcome Victor to the program. We're tied at 1-1.
Hey, Victor.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
What's your Victor?
You've heard the arguments. What do you think?
I'm okay. And with it, I've walked into public and restrooms and seen a lot and worse. I've walked into somebody taking a shower in a public and restroom on the sink. I've I've been to prison. I've seen worse things.
Okay. Honestly, we don't need to know what you've seen in prison.
Let him talk.
You know, once you've been to prison, I guess brushing your teeth in a public restroom is not that big a deal. All right,
it.
Victor is a yay.
So I'm okay. You know, keep on brushing them teeth because dental bills ain't that cheap.
Eight All right. Dental bills ain't there that cheap. Go. That's an excellent point. I'm sure you thought of that, right, Seth?
Of course.
That's a 2-1. Mm-hmm. Let's go to, is it Mike next? San Bernardino, line 6.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike.
Oh.
Gone.
Did we lose Mike?
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's why we have alternate jurors. Bit,
right?
That's why we have Kaylee. I think it's Kaylee next, HB.
Hey, Kaylee.
Hi, Kylie.
I apologize. That's my fault. All right, Kylie, you could be the deciding vote. If you're okay with Seth brushing his teeth in a public restroom, then it is a go. If you're not, then it's a tie. What do you think?
I mean, the thing is he just carrying his toothbrush in his pocket?
a lot of questions about how this works. We don't know. Seth, how are you transporting your toothbrush?
No, you guys have been to Rite Aid before. They have those little pocket toothbrushes with a little cover over the bristles. Everything is fine. It's hygienic. If I'm going to brush in the bathroom, I'm sure as heck not going to put my toothbrush in my pocket.
Right? Let's not be ridiculous.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Does that make you feel better, Kylie?
That does, yes. As much as I'm sure there are some poo particles in the air, as there always are in bathrooms, I mean...
yes. Did you think about the poo particles, Seth?
Mm-hmm.
You got
poo particles is a good band.
That's true.
It is a good band.
All right, but the poo particles are not anywhere near you brushing your teeth. So will you allow it if Seth wants to?
Okay. Yes. I'll
yes.
Allow it.
Yes. Yes. All right. We have a winner.
It's a yes.
All right.
Oh. Kylie, I'm so glad. I was very nervous there when you brought up the poo particles. I thought you were going to rain on this.
Way to go, Seth.
You thought she was going to rain
awesome.
On it.
Awesome.
Congratulations. Brush away, my friends. Thanks for playing.
That was Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, KROQ.
We have an answering machine that you can call. It's the Afro line, 323-520-AF. You can call it 24 hours a day.
And people do.
You don't have to call it 24 times in a row unless you're Becky. And this is what she called with.
Oh, so hey, guys. This is for Allie, actually. I needed some girl advice. I got this guy that came home from the bar with me, and it is 11 o'clock in the morning now. He slept over. It's 11 in the morning. And he won't leave. And you know what he said to me this morning? I tried to wake him up, and he goes, "Your bed's so comfy. Where did it come from?" And I go, "I didn't know, the bed store."
Okay, so then she called back and called back and called back. And then she called back and then she called back. Mm-hmm. And then she said she rented the Avengers and played it really loud. And then she called back and she called back. And she would always leave her phone number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Calling back, 813-963-0213-0133 or... I'll call back again, I'm sure.
So wait, from that phone number, you were able to put enough digits together that Dave was able to get her on the phone?
Well, she did call 24 times.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we stitched together like 3 of them and made it up.
This happens very rarely that we hear an Afro call that we are so in love with that we need follow-up. Mm-hmm. But in Becky's case, we did. And she joins us on the phone, believe it or not, from the great state of Florida, you guys. America's penis. Hey, Becky, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
We are good. We're fine. We have so many questions for you. And I guess we'll start with, why did you call the Afro line 24 times?
I just wanted Allie's help and this advice. I thought maybe she had problems with birds and I had a problem with this guy. So mm-hmm. I was like, how do we get rid of this?
Oh, question one should have been, is the guy still sleeping in your bed?
No, I got rid of him.
Okay, got rid of him.
Okay. All right. Well, we want to hear about that. But did you think that this was a phone that would ring in Allie's apartment, and if you called back in 20 minutes, she might be home then and pick up?
I figured that there might be like some type of a follow-up, but...
Well, I mean, there was a follow-up.
If I had her phone number.
It just took... Yeah, well, we'll give you her phone number before...
Oh, sure. We'll definitely hang out. No worries.
Advice all day long.
Yeah, we'll hook you up.
I feel like listener Becky only needed what I thought I needed to get rid of the birds. A decoy owl. Just right next to the bed. That could help.
For a man?
Yeah. A decoy man.
Yeah, I tried decoy movie with the Avengers Infinity War.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that didn't work.
She tried coffee.
You tried coffee because people love the smell of coffee?
What do you do when you can't get somebody to leave? At what point, because you were calling us at 11, 11:30, noon, at what point did he finally leave?
Well, I finally told him, I was like, I got an eye appointment, I got to go to the doctor's, and then he got up. But the thing was, when you went in my living room, the Infinity War movie was still playing.
Uh-huh.
So then he sits on the couch and he goes, I've been wanting to watch this movie.
Oh, no!
It backfired.
He really liked you. Now, was that a terrible ending to your date? In other words, did that impact your desire to maybe see him again because you realized he was tough to move?
No, it was just kind of like a task. I had to get rid of him that morning. I'll still talk to the guy. I just didn't want him there at that time in the morning.
I mean, that's fair. You should. Yeah. Anybody should leave a house if somebody's asking them to leave a house.
Right.
I don't know how hard that should have to be.
I dropped a lot of hints.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Well, I don't know if you heard the podcast yesterday, but when we were playing back some of your voicemail messages, we said, just shake the guy as hard as you need to and tell him to get the hell out of your house. I mean, there's no reason to be delicate in that situation. You were in the right.
I know. It was too nice. Like, I didn't want to just, like, be like, hey,
You do sort of have to. I don't want to say be a dick, but you do sort of have to be strong with somebody like that and say, look, it's my house. Get out because I have to leave.
And Becky sounds like a very sweet girl.
Yes.
So
she can't remember her phone number, but she seems very sweet.
A lot of digits. Becky, here's what I do. I never allow them to sleep over.
Mm.
It's just easier that way. You get it done and then you look at them and you're like, well, thanks.
Sorry, you got to go.
And then you get up.
You literally say thanks.
You start walking and you're like, all right, let's do this again or maybe not. Whatever you want to do, you got to earn the sleepover. That's what I'm saying.
This is true. I'm going to take that advice the next time. Nobody's going to
sleep over. Okay. All right.
You're welcome,
Becky.
There we
go.
You're welcome.
Unless he's drunk. Then what do you do, Allie? If he's drunk, you can't really send him home.
Absolutely. Get him in an Uber. Get him in a cab.
Get him in an Uber.
For sure.
Okay, very good.
Walk. All right, Becky. Yeah. Well, listen, I hope we fulfilled your expectations with getting back to you, not as quickly as you would have liked, but I hope it's good advice for you.
Oh, no, definitely. Thank you so much, Allie. That's definitely good insight. No more sleepovers.
There you go.
There you go.
Avoid the whole problem.
And call again with any sort of advice that you need. Multiple times. We need it.
Call at least 20 times.
Yes, yeah, I will.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you.
All right. Bye now.
All right. So that's Allie's advice. But what if you didn't? That wasn't your policy and you were in Becky's situation where somebody is in your house and you cannot get them to leave. That's what we're looking for. That's the topic on the table here right now.
Hasn't that happened to you, Bean? Where you have like a party or something and you just ask people to leave.
He turns off lights.
Yeah, I've got no problem with, hey, why don't you tell me that story as I walk you out to the car? You know, I have no problem with that at all.
But the thing with Bean is he says that and then you laugh, but then you go, oh, well, he is serious.
He's serious, okay.
But it's still funny, so you do leave. But Omar didn't this was just happen with Omar?
Yes, he had house guests that he could not get to leave. Exactly, yeah. So what are we looking for exactly?
We're looking for you had somebody.
1-800-520-1067.
You had somebody at your house, you couldn't get to leave.
Yeah.
Omar did have somebody at his house. Tell us who they were and how late they stayed.
They were,
and what you did to try and get rid of them.
They were good friends of ours, and we had had a party on Saturday, and they were overserved. So I was like, hey, why don't you guys crash out? And, you know, you guys could leave in the morning. Exact words, something like that.
You didn't emphasize morning.
I did not. So we get up, and, you know, it's like, you know, we're a little hungover, so we get up late. It's like maybe 9 a.m., something like that. Make breakfast, think, okay, cool, they'll have breakfast, that's fine. And then 11 rolls around.
No!
Then it's noon.
No!
And I have things to do.
Did you say, hey, great to see you, I have things to do, like any of those
they lines? They were watching movies.
Okay.
And Cassie was upstairs doing some laundry. And
wait,
then,
you're not even down there?
No!
Cassie's not down there.
They're just hanging out.
Okay,
they're just hanging
that's
out.
So weird.
And so I was like, well, I got to do some yard work, guys. So I'm hitting the lawnmower outside, and the guy goes out, you know, he's out there smoking a cigarette. And I'm like, he's a buddy of mine, you know,
right.
But I'm like, all right, dude, it's time to hit the bricks.
Yeah,
you know?
Beat it, kid.
Beat it, kid, right? So then 5 p.m. rolls around.
What?
No!
5 p.m.?
No!
They end up having dinner, and they don't leave till about 7 p.m.
Holy
cow. Did they at least buy dinner?
No. We ordered pizza. I ended up paying for it.
This is insane.
That's insane.
Yeah.
he really wanted to finish the event.
He really did. And yeah, I mean, there's nothing like, what do you do?
I mean, you have to be more rude than you're used to.
But
you literally have to say, it's great having you, but I have work to do, so we'll see you later.
Or do it like Bean.
That seems harsh.
Bean says it.
I did it nicely there.
Yeah. Bean says it as a joke, but means it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to say, do you have home? Because this is mine. Yeah. Like something like that.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
if
like
that
it.
Was they me, I would have been like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
I'm still here.
Oh, all that's right.
If you have been where Omar was in that story, we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. How do you handle the guests that just won't leave? We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Talking about people wouldn't leave your party. How do you get rid of them? Jose, good morning.
Hey, morning, Kevin and Bean, Allie.
Hey.
Sounds like you were the one who was asked to leave. What happened?
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. So we get invited to my friend's house to watch a UFC fight.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all hanging out. We're enjoying the fight. As soon as the final match is over, they announce the winner. And my buddy, he gets up and he says, "All right, guys, well, it was nice having you guys here. Thanks for coming out."
Completely reasonable.
And I was going to say, it's your buddy Bean.
Yeah. Why not? You came over to watch the fight. The fights are over. Hit the road. Beat it, kid.
No, then you have drinks. You have a little more food.
Beat it, kid.
No, you don't say beat it.
Exactly. There was still food left over.
Oh, Jose.
I think I still probably had a plate in my lap.
But doesn't the last fight end like... Isn't it like 10:30 or 11 o'clock by the time the last fight?
Yeah, it's 10:30
or 11.
It's
time to get the hell out.
No, not at all. There's plenty of time left.
Weird.
Hit the road.
All right,
get off my phone, Jose.
Thank you for calling.
If something's lame and it ain't that good, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. K Rock, L A N O C's alternative rock.
Kevin, we've been doing this job for a long time.
Yes,
many would say too long.
Mm-hmm.
But we've never said these words before. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the World Arm Wrestling League heavyweight right and left hand champion, Devin No Limits Larrick.
Oh, yeah. How are you, Devin? I'm so happy to be here, guys. I can't believe it's been this long. I mean, arm wrestling's a huge sport here. Come on.
It's so awesome that you're here today on August the 8th, because today is the day that ESPN has turned over their programming to what some would call the fringe sports. They're doing
it's
the Ocho today.
Of.
It is the best stuff, right? And world arm wrestling is one of those sports that has been coming on like gangbusters in the last few years, right?
Yes, it's because of our accessibility. You know, anybody can do it. It doesn't matter what you do. It's like handshakes gone wild, you know?
You know? Are you a professional, Devin?
Can you believe it? Yes.
Do you make a living arm wrestling?
I am one of the few crazy people in the world who has quit their job. Well, I don't know if I was fired or I quit.
You just stopped showing up.
Yeah, but I'm now doing this as a full-time occupation. Yes, I am.
And you travel the world doing this.
I do, yeah. I'm one of the lucky people who gets to do exactly what they love to do, and I get by.
How did you start into arm wrestling?
I was very young, so I guess...
Like what?
Yeah.
Middle school, high school?
No, it was like two critical life events.
Okay.
I guess the first life event was I opened up pumping iron and I saw Arnold and I was like, you know, I was like four and I'm like, I need to be a strong human being, right?
Okay.
So I'm just a kid, just...
So you started pumping iron when you were four?
Yeah, man. Anything I thought that meant that I could be strong, I was like, I just want to do it. And then my grandmother, believe it or not, was like the strongest woman in Alberta at arm wrestling.
Well, I'm sorry. Hold on. Your grandma was an arm wrestling champ.
Yeah, that's how the story goes. So she used to come to my house and she'd give me like random tasks. She'd be like, "Devin, go get me apples and I'll make you apple pie." And like a good little boy, I'd run and get her whatever she needed.
Uh-huh.
And my reward was always that I got to arm wrestle her. Yeah, and you know, like when
you know, just like your name.
Okay, wait, is that all true?
It's the next Bitcoin. Okay, I'm telling you, this arm wrestling stock, it's going to revolutionize things.
Sure.
Okay, so
How old do you get before you realize that you're not just good at arm wrestling, you are exceptional at arm wrestling, and you, in your small town in Alberta, you can't even find anyone who can beat you, right?
Well, no, that's absolutely not how it went. All my buddies back in public school and probably even in early high school are like, damn, I used to crush that dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
So you didn't know what you were doing for a while.
No, I just knew I loved it. Like, I just liked the feeling of being able to go at something full out and not get in trouble. you know, but there came a point when I actually met a professional. You know, everybody kind of arm wrestles. I'm sure everybody in this room is arm wrestled.
Sure.
Everybody's arm wrestled.
Sure.
Right, but then you meet somebody who does it, like, really seriously, like, mm-hmm. in a club and studies it. And I met this person when I was 18 years old. I was out west working oil field. And, you know, I did fairly good in the company, beating just regular dudes. And everybody's like, oh, but can you beat Dion? The 165-pound, like, Wolverine-looking dude. I could do nothing with him, and I just was so intrigued, and I'm like, you have to teach me, and that's when I learned that arm wrestling is really like a martial art.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that, because it seems like it's almost entirely a mental game.
It's so much mental. It's the same, just...
You guys fighting for position just to get started takes 15 minutes.
Well, it doesn't always take... Yeah, it definitely does take time, and just think about it the same way you think of like a UFC fight. And fighters, like when you think, like, what makes a great UFC fighter?
Mm-hmm.
All those components are the same things that make a great arm wrestling champion.
Did
just
I see
a much narrower part of your body, just a lot
right.
less real estate? I see.
Did I see you yelling, "You're not strong enough"? From 2 inches away.
Yeah.
You're not strong enough.
Yeah. Well, I love to
that
do that too.
That was Nana.
Like, you know, there's some egotistical rewards that I'm seeking as well.
Sure.
When I'm at the table, and yeah, I mean, we
Devin,
have fun.
How
it.
Did you come to arm wrestle the Mountain from Game of Thrones, who outweighs you by almost 200 pounds?
Complete fluke. So, not too far from my house, there was a little event. There's this guy who has roots to Iceland, and every year he has a strongman event, and he brings in, like, the best strong guy from Iceland. And that the year, it was the Mountain. And I was there doing a kids' event, so I just go and I do demos for kids, get them into the sport. And he was working the next booth over. And I just went over to him, hey, man, like, when your knees blow, when your hips blow, come to arm wrestling, let me show you some stuff. So just throughout the day, we were doing some training, and that's all I was. That was just us getting on the table and
just messing around.
Yeah.
But you beat him with both hands. Left
well,
and right.
I'm just glad I didn't have to pick anything up in front of him, because it would have just looked as bad.
He's a big dude.
So super cool.
Your event Thursday night at the Novo, tomorrow night at the Novo, people can stream it on the Bleach Report Live app, but you have tickets on sale for people who want to be there in person. They can come on down to WALUnderground.com. How many people will show up for an event in Southern California of arm wrestling?
I hope it's a packed house.
I mean, are there 100 people? Are there 500 people? How big do your events get?
Well, the last one I was at, I think we had about 200 people in attendance. So maybe I get that wrong. Maybe three or four.
Okay.
But it's a packed little house, and it's a very personal experience. We let you get right up close to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very energetic experience. You might even get some saliva in the face if you're close enough.
I mean, I don't know that anyone wants that.
Need that. And are there strategies? If you know enough about arm wrestling, can I watch a match and see, like the UFC example you gave earlier, Devin? Can I see how you're working it, what you're doing?
100%.
Really?
Yeah.
You watch tape.
Oh yeah, I watch all the guys I'm going to arm wrestle against, and ones I don't even, just because I'm a fan of the sport, but. When you think about arm wrestling, I'd say there's a lot of division points. So you can classify people into two groups right away.
Okay.
What we call inside arm wrestlers and outside arm wrestlers. Inside arm wrestlers, you'll see them moving their shoulder forward. They'll be trying to pin their opponent's arm mm-hmm. in totality. Okay. Outside arm wrestlers are going to typically attack the hand, attack the fingers, and kind of try and peel their opponents open in this manner. There's strap.
Who knew?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And there's fast guys, and there's guys who are more like grinders, right? Guys who kind of hold on for the long win. Yeah.
How is Will Ferrell not playing him?
Right?
Movie?
Agreed.
This needs to happen.
Who's your opponent tomorrow night?
Oh, it's going to be so amazing. I'm so going to kill this guy. His name's Matt Mask. And
Matt Mask.
Matt Mask. He is the only other guy in the 400 series who's undefeated up to this point.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So this is like the culmination of our whole series. The two of us. Yeah, and we're both Canadian.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
So are you friends? A polite match.
Well,
are you friends with him?
I thought we were friends, but I've said a lot of things to him that he's taken, I think, a bit too personally. He's not answering his texts for me anymore.
Uh-oh. Oh, it's no. on.
He's right. I've been hearing through match. The yeah, he's getting mad. I think he's going to hit me.
All right.
But that's
all
okay. Right. We're going to throw down.
I can't wait. General admission tickets and VIP tickets both on sale right now through WALUnderground.com. And that stands for the World Arm Wrestling League. And that is going to be tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Novo, downtown L.A. So, good luck, Devin. I think we're going to put you in the next room and shoot a little Instagram video because Beer Mug, as you know, has been talking smack. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's upsetting.
He wants to show you. He wants to show you what's up. He said,
"Yeah, I can't." That's really disrespectful, Beer Mug.
Yeah,
I can't. Devin, no.
He said, "Devin is nothing." That's what he was yelling at.
He did say that.
So
he said, "Don't come into my country and tell me how to arm wrestle." That's what I heard Beer Mug say.
The thing I worry about is you guys don't have health insurance down here the way we do.
Actually, Beer Mug said your healthcare's stupid.
Oh.
Universal and stuff.
Oh, he's going to have to move up there just to get his arm fixed.
Do whatever you want to Beer Mug with our blessing, Devin, and have fun tomorrow night. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us on the show, guys.
You bet. Thank you.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Allie, one final look at what's happening with you.
Well, this just in. Following four straight years of declines in the ratings.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Have just announced a series of steps to make the Academy Awards more accessible, more streamlined.
Oh, so they're going to make them an hour and a half?
They're limiting it to a 3-hour telecast.
Okay.
So, that's better than 3.5.
Absolutely. Sure. Select categories among the 24 typically presented on air will be done during the commercial breaks. And then those winning moments will be edited down for air later in the broadcast.
So finally, they're listening to me and they're not going to do animated short and sound mixing and things like that that no one cares about?
I believe that is what you have said. And I believe animated short and sound mixers disagree. But
no, they're very needed, but does it make an interesting TV show?
True, true, true. The other thing, which Bean thinks is a horrible idea, and I think it's great, they are adding a new category for the 2019 show designed around, quote, achievement in popular film. And to me, that means movies that would never win Best Picture, so they don't even put it up for it, would never be nominated. Movies like a Deadpool or a Black Panther can finally get some recognition.
I mean, it's dumb that they can't just get recognition with the main group.
That's my point.
Absolutely. But you're never going to.
Better than nothing.
You're never going to change these old dudes' minds.
Why not? Look, Black Panther is a movie that was universally beloved.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Every critic in America, in addition to every moviegoer in America who saw that movie, recognized it for its excellence and its quality.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a separate but equal category. That movie deserved to be nominated for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't, it's not. It doesn't mean anything to be popular picture, or whatever they're calling this new category. It doesn't mean anything. You're still not able to. It's like being in the Negro League versus being in the major leagues. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, they both get an Oscar.
Yeah. It's a fake, made-up category, though. I don't like it. I don't like it one little bit.
All right.
All right.
You don't like it. Noted.
I just think for the time being, until all of these just old-school kind of Academy members die, you need a popular category because they're giving crap to things we'll never see.
Yeah.
We'll never see. Yeah, some are absolutely great. They're wonderful. But the majority of them, that's why no one's watching, because we've never seen these BS movies.
But see, I disagree with you there, too, because I don't think the intention is to honor movies based on popularity either. It's possible that some of the best movies of each year are not blockbusters. In fact, that's frequently the case. But I think the movie should be judged on the quality of the film. And that's why a movie like an indie movie that you never saw should still be nominated for Best Picture if it is. And Black Panther should be nominated for Best Picture if
it is. But the thing is those movies always will be nominated.
Mm-hmm.
These movies never were. And never actually had a place at the table.
Well, which is ridiculous.
Yes.
They need a place at the table.
Right. They made another side table. It's like a children's
table.
Yeah,
it is.
Kids
That's
table.
Exactly what it is.
It's, it's Thanksgiving adjacent, but exactly we're getting there. We're getting there.
I don't like it at all, but I do like that they're trying to figure out a way to shorten the show. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And I think Jimmy Kimmel should host every year, too.
Agreed.
I think I'd like
all
to throw that out there as well.
Yeah, the next one, I believe, is on ABC as well, so why not? Mm-hmm. Well, the CW, you know how they love hot dudes and hot chicks. They have cast model actress Ruby Rose to play Kate Kane, Batwoman. She'll be introduced during the network's annual DC crossover event this winter, and a standalone series about the character is also in development. If you don't know the name Ruby Rose, that means you never watched Orange is the New Black, Pitch Perfect, Return of Xander Cage.
She seems
John
like the
Wick,
perfect choice
chapter
for this.
Two. She, it's like they were like, who would be Batwoman in real life? Ruby Rose. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So if Batwoman is picked up to series, Ruby Rose, who's an openly gay woman, will star in the first TV series focusing on a gay superhero. So we all win, right?
Sure. Now, Batgirl and Batwoman are the same person at different stages in their life? Because there have been an awful lot of Batgirls portrayed in movies and television. I haven't seen a lot of Batwomen.
Yes.
Right.
I feel like you guys don't know either.
Right.
When a Batgirl loves a Batboy,
we don't know either.
Okay.
So...
What do we do?
Move on.
Someone look it up in the other room.
No, just move on.
Does this help?
No.
Is this drawing attention to the fact that we don't
It's way too complicated. Just move on.
Yeah. It's way too complicated.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. That's what it says on her Facebook, mm-hmm. Batwoman's. It's complicated. Hey there, Delilah. You guys, that's a song from a band called the Plain White Tees. Came out in about 2006. Mm-hmm. If you don't remember the song, here's a little bit.
Hey there, Delilah, you be good and don't you miss me. Two more years and you'll be done with school and I'll be making history like I do. You know it's all because of you.
The song tells a story about a girl. She's in New York. She's at school. He's 1,000 miles away. But one day he's going to be earning money playing the guitar. You've just got 2 more years. We can make this work. Why am I bringing this up now?
Why are you bringing this
because
up
Because that song, Hey There Delilah, is being adapted into a television show.
Why so soon?
Why so soon indeed? Sure, it took 12 years. But it's being described as a contemporary fairy tale expanding on the story within the song.
Hmm.
Right?
I feel like they could have told this exact same story without ever bringing up Hey There Delilah and not had to pay them for it. Because it's really just a love story,
it's
right?
Just like Felicity.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Right.
It's weird that they're attaching so much to that song that people may not even like.
Well,
the show could be good, but it doesn't have anything to do with the song.
I was
really
not a
but
fan
the
of
concept
the song.
Comes from the guy that wrote the song, lead singer of the Plain White Tees, Tom mm-hmm. Higginson. So
okay,
it's him and a bunch of different writers. So I guess he really just wants to expand on the story.
I mean, really?
I mean, did the guy ever pay bills with his guitar? Did she graduate? Did she get knocked up? And guess what? Now they're both destitute. Right? Would you watch that?
Probably not.
Maybe not.
Beat it, kid.
Beat right? it, kid. We talked about this earlier, and I was very confused by it. And then Bean brought up a great point, and I'd like him to bring it up again. Drake has filed a trademark for God's Plan with plans to use the name for a TV game show and clothing merchandise. And I thought, why do we need to trademark everything? Like, there's never going to be a game show of God's Plan. And then Bean, with this brilliance.
Well, first of all, I wonder if you could even trademark God's Plan since it's been an expression that's been in popular use for so long. I guess you could try.
You're in the weeds.
Okay.
Okay.
Second of all, I don't know anything about this story at all, but I do remember the video for the Drake song God's Plan that was so good that involved him going all over Florida and giving away money, giving away scholarships, buying groceries for people, things like that. And I thought maybe there's an idea of a show there where he helps out people who need it. And that might be a kind of a feel-good game show that maybe could work.
And I love that idea so much. So if that wasn't in Drake's grand scheme of things, it needs to be now. I would watch that show all damn day.
But he makes the people build unicorn heads out of felt first in order to get the money.
They've
got to do some crafts or something. Yeah.
That is a show called Making It, and it is a goddamn delight.
That's what we meant,
and it is... It was wonderful. You should watch it.
Yep.
Tuesday nights,
love
10 p.m. on NBC.
My favorite.
If you want to check it out. Some birthdays for you. The Edge from U2. Scott Stapp from Creed. Robin Quivers. Howard Stern sidekick. Roger Federer. Drew Lachey from 98 Degrees. J.C. Chazé, NSYNC. And Shawn Mendes. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Riley. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We'll win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. One of our favorite comedians, Rhys Darby, joins us in studio.
Present.
Love him so much. Dr. Drew on Thursdays as well. And we've got your passes for Bishop Briggs when she plays the HC Radio Sound Space tomorrow morning.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Hey, yo, check this out, man. Up? We got to get serious. We got to do a radio version for
this. Word, that means we got to take an all-a-cussing, right?
All-a-cussing.
Yellow boy kicking the beat.